I had to learn how to apply it. It was very easy for me in my work. It's very easy just to be in this receptive state in my work, but I had to learn how to apply it in my just personal life as I was moving through my life. I was like, oh, I'm not actually making space to be in receptivity for myself at all. I'm not really like allowing my body to truly properly rest throughout the day. It's just always like, what can I do next? Yeah. I can do this, I can do that. And actually finding acupuncture for me was like such so helpful in starting to really anchor that into my system, because it's like you go and you lay on a table and you have these points activated, these meridians activated for you. And then your body is entering this blissful parasympathetic nervous system state and you just feel like you could float off the table. And that actually kind of taught me like what that actually feels like in my life, that I can be in that sort of yin parasympathetic state in just as I'm kind of moving through the world when I'm not in this receptive state as I'm working. So anyway, it's been a journey.
Welcome to the show. My name is Emily Green, otherwise known as Emily the Medium. This show is a space for spiritual seekers to explore all of the topics they're craving to hear more about. We'll cover things like spirit babies, conscious conception, spiritual awakening, the age of Aquarius, developing psychic abilities, 5D consciousness, and so much more. Let's dive in.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Very happy to be back here with you. I took last week off of the podcast, which I wasn't entirely happy about, but I was hit with an eclipse purge, aka I got sick. But I'm choosing to call it my eclipse purge because that's the reality that I live in. My body was not sick. It was just clearing out so that I could upgrade, you know? Hope you are feeling okay out there. We are smack dab in the middle of eclipse season. At the time that you're hearing this, it is the day of the total solar eclipse in Aries. Very big energies. Energies are big now. I'm sure they will be big on the day that you're hearing this as well. So I hope you're doing okay out there. Important to keep in mind on eclipse days, especially this total solar eclipse that's visible throughout much of North America. Maybe some of you are even planning on watching the eclipse. What I will say is that historically, you kind of don't really want to mess with eclipses. Like the best plan of action during an eclipse, especially this one, is kind of to stay inside and meditate and rest and pray and take baths and be in water and to just really kind of lay low. Now, I know that's not what most people do on eclipses. Most people are out chasing eclipses all across the country. And, you know, I think this one is a pretty historic one. So most people are excited about going to see it. But my suggestion would just be, you know that historically and energetically, eclipses are known to be quite chaotic. And as we're viewing or observing the eclipse, you know, that chaotic kind of energy is fully being broadcasted. I saw this article the other day of people planning to get married during the total solar eclipse, like the moment of totality. And then I saw like somebody quote the article like, oh no, who's going to tell them? Because getting married under an eclipse is just, it's not the move. It's not the kind of energy that we want to begin a marriage with necessarily. Okay. So lay low, meditate, take a salt bath, have a nap. You know, if you feel super called to go outside and watch the eclipse, just put a little bubble of protection around yourself. Just say, I do not accept any of the chaos from this eclipse into my reality. Okay. That's my suggestion for you. That's my prayer for you. And just hope you are moving through the energies gracefully. You're feeling good. I'm holding the highest reality for you. And if you're just like, what is she talking about? I feel fine. Fantastic. I love that for you. But most people I'm talking to are like, what is going on? I feel like I'm about to explode. So if you're there, I'm with you. And take care of yourselves extra, extra, extra in this season. I also said on Instagram last week, don't make big decisions in eclipse season, okay? Especially since we're also in a Mercury retrograde. Don't make big decisions. Don't make impulsive decisions. There can be this, especially because we're in Aries season, there can be this like feeling of like, I have this idea and I'm going to act on it right away. you kind of want to let things land really slowly in eclipse season. You just want to like take your time. If you get a thought, you get an idea, give it some time to land. Clarity is still landing. So don't make any hasty, impulsive decisions at this time. It's not necessarily a good time to sign a contract, okay? Not necessarily a good time to like make a huge business decision. So keep that in mind as you proceed. Anyway, enough about eclipse season. I want to tell you about the event, the new event that I have created. It is called the Conception Portal. Most of you, if you've been along here, around here for a while, you know that for the last few years, since 2021, I have run events called Super Conscious Conception events, and they have been wildly popular and really beautiful spirit baby healing events. And I'll still be doing those. I'm not totally closing them down altogether, but I've had this call. I've had this inspiration to open another kind of event that I'm calling the Conception Portal, which is we're still going to do some healing work. We're still going to do some practices that I can give you to connect and communicate with your spirit babies. But most of all, it's going to be a group spirit baby reading. I just have so many people right now asking me for readings, and I just don't have the availability to give everyone a reading that I want to. And so I thought, what a better way to do group spirit baby reading? I'm going to channel messages from spirit baby energies. I'll maybe do even do some little mini one-on-one readings. People have asked me to do this actually for a very long time, and it just has not felt right until now. So if you are interested in being a part of this event, it will be on Thursday, May 23rd, underneath the full moon in Sagittarius. That was the date I was drawn to, and I checked the moon phase. I was like, oh, of course it's full moon, at 6 p.m. Eastern. If you're interested in getting tickets, you can check the link in the show notes, and I hope to see you there. More information is on the ticket page. If you have any questions, you can email me or DM me, and I will, of course, be happy to assist, and I would love to see you there. Last but not least, coming to today's episode with my wonderful friend, Michelle Orovitz. Very excited to have had her on the podcast today. We had a really great, beautiful, deep conversation about fertility, the heart, the connection between the heart and the uterus, the yin and yang connection, things that Michelle is noticing in her fertility practice. We talk about traditional Chinese medicine and meridians that are supportive to work on for people on a fertility path and so much more. It was a really beautiful conversation. Michelle also has a great book coming out. Will be out in a couple weeks on April 22nd. It's called The Way of Fertility. I read it. It was fantastic. And I highly recommend that you pick up a copy. I think that having these books that really speak to the energetic and the emotional elements of fertility and different tools that we can use that are along those lines are so powerful, in addition to any other things that we're doing, like the diet and the lifestyle and all these things. So I love the book. I thought it was great. I hope you enjoy this conversation with my friend, Michelle Orovitz from the Wholesome Lotus Fertility. And I will see you back next week. All right. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I'm very excited to be here with my wonderful guest, Michelle, today. I have a lot of very deep and interesting topics to bring to you surrounding fertility and this beautiful new book that Michelle has written. So very excited to have you here, Michelle. Thank you for coming on to have a conversation with me.
Well, thank you, Emily, for having me on. And I enjoyed having you on the podcast. So I just really enjoy our conversations.
Me too. We had a great conversation, and we got off recording when we were like talking again for 30 more minutes. So I was like, it will be good. We'll get into some good stuff. So Michelle, for the people who are new to you, your work, you work in the world of fertility, as do I in some way, and you're a fertility acupuncturist, and you practice traditional Chinese medicine, and have all kinds of amazing courses to support people on a fertility path, alongside your upcoming book. So would love to just hear your origin story. You know, I always say to people, however you feel most inspired to share it, what brought you to this work, this beautiful work that you're doing now and supporting women and families on a fertility path? How did you find your way there?
I love this question because it was definitely like, it is definitely something that at the time when I was not aligned, I really felt, and it impacted me on like every level of my being. So I really don't feel like I'm working now. It's just the craziest thing, but I love what I do. It doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
It feels very natural and the motivation just comes through me. So I love talking about this. I did not start out as an acupuncturist. And I also, so a completely different life and job. And I also did not always have regular periods and the vitality that I do now many years back. And I started out with my own reproductive issues. I wasn't trying to conceive at the time, but I had very irregular periods and I had lots of hormonal imbalances. I look back and I think I probably had PCOS and it was undiagnosed because I had like hair shedding, like all the classic things plus irregular periods. So those two out of three, usually they do like three different things that they look at. Symptoms, like two out of three of the three symptoms, one is polycystic ovaries, one is like androgen symptoms, and then high androgen symptoms. And then the third is irregular periods. So I had two out of the three, maybe three out of three. I don't know. I never did an ultrasound. So I look back and I think that, you know, I probably had a lot going on. And I remember at 17 going to the doctor thinking, oh, you know, I'm just going to go to the doctor. He's going to totally like fix this for me. And he just gave me the birth control pill. I wasn't even sexually active. And I was like, what? So it was weird to me, you know, talking about intuition. Like I just definitely was like this. I feel like I'm giving a false like solution here. It didn't feel aligned. And it was the first time I actually experienced that in the medical world. And I was like, what is this? Really? Like, is this how we do things? Like, so basically it was like on and off, on and off, on and off. The birth control pill until about 25. And I was off the birth control pill at the time. And I was traveling for 3 months. And the whole time I didn't get my period. I go into this in the book. I actually do see it was really wild because I was in Cuba at one point. I was in Europe and then Cuba backpacking. And when I was in Cuba, I had a medium, Santeria, give me a reading. And he said, something's going on with your like lower abdomen, like pelvic area, check it out. And I wasn't sure if it was like a growth or what it was, but then I was like, I'm not going to really put too much emphasis on it. I don't want to think something bad. And I kind of like let it go. And I didn't realize at the time, like, yes, you know, things are functioning. It's like, it's all part of that. The period's part of that. Like I didn't even realize. And then he also said, you're going to meet somebody who's tall and older man, and he's going to change your life. And I was like, okay. And then I go back home and it actually took me, believe it or not, years to like put two and two together. I go back home. I tell my mom, like, I didn't get my period the whole time. And she's like, and at the time I was an architect, I was working in New York City, like in kind of corporate world. It was after, obviously my trip was in between. I came home and she said, oh, you know, I learned about this acupuncturist in Queens. He was basically working out of his basement. And really, really old school. You walk in, you smell the herbs. You know, it's like a really like he gives you like real herbs to cook at home and explains to you exactly what to do. And he's asking me all kinds of questions. And I was so intrigued and happened to be an older man with a tall stature. And so he was really like just asking me questions I've never been asked, like really inquiring about my mental, like how I felt, my emotions, my bowel movements, like just all kinds of things that I was like, I've never been asked this many questions about not just my health, but how I was feeling and all these things. Like, so I was like, this is interesting. And it intrigued me. There was definitely an intrigue. And I think it was kind of awoken a little curiosity in me in that world. And I felt very right and aligned. And it's kind of one of those things that you just like on a soul level, you recognize this is where I need to be. This is like, this is aligned for me. Right. And when what you find is when you are in alignment, you don't feel as much efforting. It's just easier. And it doesn't mean that you don't work. You know, people have had like times where they create this crazy project that takes a lot of energy, but it's so much fun at the same time. So it doesn't feel like work, even though it's work.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing.
Yes.
So he, you know, from the acupuncture, from the herbs, regulated my period. And I was going through maybe like 12 years, consistent years of irregular cycles. So that was shocking to me. Because after, and this is another thing that I really learned from that experience, is that your past does not have to be your future. And just because it's been going on for a long time doesn't mean that that is your life sentence.
Yeah.
And many times if something's going on, there's got to be something that you need to listen to. It's kind of like your body's making you pay attention. So that was pretty much my story. And then I eventually really, like, as I was feeling more aligned, I was like, I'm not meant to do this work. Like, I was like, I need to work with people. I need to do something. I was so intrigued by natural medicine. It just felt so effortless for me. Yeah. And I eventually went back. We moved, my husband and I, he's actually a Western medicine doctor. He's an ER doctor, which I think is always like where Western medicine shines. And we moved to Florida after he finished his residency. And he said, you know, why don't you go back to school? Like, don't do it because it's not fun for you. Like, go learn natural medicine. Very supportive. And so I ended up studying Ayurveda at first and then paused, had my kids. Then eventually when they were old enough, like they were both going to elementary school, I went to enroll and I've been doing it since and was always intrigued in fertility health. I just like love working with women. I don't know what it is. I feel like I'm definitely connected to Guanyin energy. Like, and I've actually been told that like completely spontaneously from other mediums. And I was just like, wow, that's so cool. Which her energy is all about creativity, which I've always painted. It was always my thing. And then it's also, well, creativity of the body is fertility.
Yeah.
So it's not just creativity, kind of fertility and compassion and like really connecting with that essence of love.
I love it. Michelle, thank you for sharing your story. I love listening to people's stories. I could listen to them all day. And that's just me being a storyteller. I love listening to other people's stories too. But I love that last piece. That's actually one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, because I love that piece as I was reading through your book this weekend of these deities and these figures of fertility, these female figures of fertility like Kuan Yin, Mary Magdalene, you know, Freya, Ostara, all of these beautiful.
Many different names, different pieces, but the same energy.
Same energy, exactly. And what's so fascinating to me is like we have this, it's like all these beautiful feminine figures that maybe we don't know about. A lot of people don't know about them. They don't know how to tap into that energy. They don't know how to like kind of receive the support and the love from that energy. And I love what you're saying around, I think that these figures, these deities can work through all kinds of different people in whatever capacity, whether they're supporting a family or a fertility practitioner or that sort of thing. I think that's so beautiful. And it's a good reminder that there's, of course, you know, in my work, I work with spirit babies, like there's that presence, there's that essence that is communicating with us and so on. But there is also this kind of like this higher feminine archetype, this higher feminine force that is supporting us and supporting people on our fertility path as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I actually love that you say that, because as you were saying that, I'm like, you know, people channel all the time, but it's like not all channels are the same. You channel different things. Like there's just different vibrations that you're connecting to.
Yeah,
that's kind of interesting.
That's it. Absolutely. I love it. Well, what I wanted to see, so you began your practice and how long have you been in practice? How long have you been in practice for?
Since 2016. Practicing before for two years before.
Okay. Fascinating. That's interesting, because that's around the time I got started too. I feel like there was like an activation for a lot of people around that time, like 2014, 2015, 2016. It was like a lot of these light worker people stepped up and stepped into their purpose in a new way. So that's really cool. So curious though, now in 2024, just as you've been in practice for, you know, over a decade, what are you noticing in 2024? Like what's coming up in your practice with your patients? What kind of themes are you noticing in the fertility space in your work as you're working one-on-one with people?
I'm going to say that it's probably the past couple of years into this time.
Yeah,
it's interesting because around like before 2023, 2022, I felt a lot of people questioning their bodies, and it was a response to a lot of what they were hearing outside, a lot of outside noise and statistic information, numbers. You know, you get into that place and it's kind of like, it takes out the romance of living. I don't know. It just, that's how I want to say it. I don't know how else to say it. It's almost like if we get so stuck on that, on the analytics, we lose the spirit. We're moving away from like this other essence and magic that we have access to. And I've seen this with my patients, that when they're willing to take a bet on themselves and they just know that that intuition, that listening, they overcome a lot of doubt that was placed on them, really put on them from sometimes, and I don't want to like blanket statement this, on some aspects of the medical community.
And
the training, the language, it's very numbers driven. There's not a lot of recognition of the fact that we are also energetic beings and that we have a spirit and that we have this other intelligence. That it's not random. And so, you know, that aspect of it. So I'm finding that we're coming out of that because I am seeing a lot of people like almost commanding a little bit more their bodies. And they're like, even though they're hearing things and they're still getting, I guess, information given to them that is not in line with what they know to be true, they're still standing strong in that truth. So one example, and I've told this story a lot of times. So if anybody's like listened to the podcast, my podcast, like I've told this story so many times. One of my patients, just this is years ago, she was told by two doctors that she basically has like incredibly low egg reserve. Like it's like working against her. One of the doctors said, you're actually approaching, you look like you're approaching menopause. And the other doctor said, I can't even do fertility, like IVF with you. Like you would have to do an egg donor. Right. She also had on top of that, a thyroid nodule. Like she just had a lot going on, but she also had this fire within her. And she was just like, like, I'm not doing that. Two different doctors, two different countries. Okay. One was in Europe. One was here, like the top of the top, like, recommended. She came to me. She felt like really strongly about this, about just trying naturally. And she decided, I want to do herbs. I want to do like acupuncture. She just really felt called for it. And she also had, this like, I don't even know how to put it into words. And I loved it about her. She had like this fire that she just was like, it was a good stubborn, like a stubborn that you want. Like, no, I believe in myself. Like, I'm not taking this. I'm not buying this. Like, it was just this, just courage within her to believe in herself and bet on herself. And she came in, and this is actually before COVID. This is like a while back. Mm-hmm. And we did, I had her on a program, and then we did only like 2 weeks of two times a week. But then I had to shut down. So then I was going online and talking to her, and she was taking herbs. And, you know, so a lot of it was all mindset. And then she ended up on one time calling me and saying, or texting me. Like she goes, I didn't get my period. And I don't know if it's the herbs. She's like, my test was pregnancy test was negative. She's like, I'm really worried now. What if I do have menopause? Or what if I am starting? You know, it started getting her in her mind, the doubt, like all the voices that she was hearing of what her doctor said. And so then I said, just try again. And I really didn't want to give her like pressure points, because I was able to give her pressure points to like push for a period. I don't know what it was. I was just like, let's wait. Let's just see. Let's see what's happening, you know? And then a couple of days later, again, negative. And then I just said, humor me, just pass by the CVS, get another one. Sure enough, it was funny enough. Right now it's April 1st. She actually got it on April 1st.
No way. Oh my God.
Her husband thought she was making a joke.
Oh my gosh.
She got a positive pregnancy test on April 1st. And it was like probably a week after her missed period. And she was always regular, which is a little strange.
Wow.
Does happen sometimes, but that was like insane. So then not only does she get pregnant, but she has a full term pregnancy. Is also was very like set on having a natural birth, and she did. And she's had a doctor say, oh, you know, you're high risk because of your age and you're not going to be able to do it. You should schedule like induction or C-section early. She goes, no. I love her personality. She's great. And she ended up having a healthy baby, but then she got pregnant again. So she ended up having two healthy pregnancies, two healthy babies after all of this. So I'm just using this as an example. yeah, of really that. And then, so what I'm finding now, though, in the beginning, I felt like maybe last year, like the year before, I felt a lot of people struggling with that, battling with that, like the doubt that they're hearing, the statistics. And now I'm seeing a lot of people like really like rooting for themselves. And I love that. Like they're betting on themselves.
That's amazing. That's what we need. And I love that. I noticed that you encourage that in your work as well. It's certainly a very important part of mine too, where it's like, you know, we have all kinds of reasons to believe that, you know, we're being given all of this information of like why your body can't work for you, why you can't conceive, why the fertility rates are plummeting and everything is, you know, sperm count will be non-existent by 2050 and all of these like very shocking pieces of information that I think, like you said, people in the past have taken on as a part of their personality and their identity. And I agree with you. I'm noticing that now too, where there's a sense of conviction and real like unshakable belief in themselves and their bodies and what their bodies can do. And I mean, we know how important that is. I mean, the power of self-belief plays a role and dictates how our experience might go in the future. You know, people who are just like, I feel this in my bones that this is the way, like, this is not the way that things are supposed to happen for me. I feel that I am meant to have this experience in this way. And people come to me and they say that to me too, stuff like that to me too, Michelle. And I'm like, beautiful, like amazing, like that. And I don't, people are coming to me to kind of like have me validate that. I'm like, you don't need me to validate that.
Yeah.
That is true. Like that belief, I want you to run with that, roll with that, expand that belief in your system, because your body will follow that cue, the cue of that belief. It gets on board with you, right? And I think that I talk about this a little bit in my work too, of just how I think we're so hard on our bodies. You know, they do so much for us. They do so many beautiful things for us, and we tend to hyperfixate on. Yeah, we tend to hyperfixate on the symptom of like, oh my gosh, I have an irregular period again. And like, my body doesn't know what it's doing. It's so silly or whatever. And it's like, no, your body's actually incredibly intelligent and it's doing so much for you. And, you know, when those kinds of things come up, it's sort of like, okay, how can my body and I work in concert, in harmony to support the outcome that we both desire? You know, that your body's on board with you. And your desires and your conscious.
Synchronistic, like you're working together. It's just kind of like harmonizing yourself and your body. Yeah.
Yeah, completely. And that actually brings me to a part in your book that I just loved. I thought this was so beautiful how you communicate this of when you're talking about the connection between the power of love and the connection between the heart, the sacred, you know, we could say this is the physical heart, the energetic heart, or a combination of both of them, maybe more of the energetic heart. And the uterus and this channel, I'll let you talk about it, but this channel that runs between the heart and the uterus. Can you talk a little bit about that and the role that love plays and the connection between the heart and the uterus plays on a fertility path?
Yeah, I love this question because I love talking about it.
Yeah.
It's really amazing because there are a lot of things that Chinese medicine has always talked about. We're now seeing in science. It's incredible. And one of those things we talked about before with the yin and yang, I'll talk to you about that later, but this is also something that I see a lot. Heart math is one example. So Chinese medicine, they always say that the heart houses the mind. And so that if you feel anxiety or if you feel certain emotions or you have a dysregulation of your emotions, it impacts the energy of the heart or vice versa. If the energy of your heart is disharmonious, it's going to impact your brain, your mind. And how your mind functions and your emotions, not just like your mind, but really your experience of life. So interesting, you know, so there's that connection, which is also an important connection before I go into the heart uterus, because our emotions, as we know, can really impact our heart, the state of our heart. And now with research, we're finding with something called HeartMath, the HeartMath Institute, they measure this. They actually measure something called heart rate variability, which is basically our heart's ability to adapt to stressors. So how fast can it go from like going really elevated to calm? And like, how does it adapt basically? Just to simplify it, obviously there's more details, but But then they also measure something called heart-brain coherence. And they're finding that the brain and the heart have this amazing connection and relationship to each other. And that the state of the heart can impact the mind. And that when it's more coherent, it is basically linked to emotions that are more calm, that more mental clarity, feeling peaceful and feeling a connection with other people, really kind of a state of joy and love. And when it's incoherent, you start to feel emotions that are more like erratic and that don't have clarity of like loss of control. You feel like a loss of control and it's not like really positive emotions that you're experiencing. And also to have, when you're doing certain exercises, they have these certain exercises where you're breathing in from the heart and you can actually increase in real time. And I have a device that measures it. It's really fascinating. In real time, you can see your heart and your brain become more coherent. Mm-hmm. So this is something that you can actually control, which is wild because I think a lot of times when people get sucked into emotions that they think that they have no control over it, that it's because of the circumstance. And so then they become a victim to the circumstance and they're not owning the fact that they absolutely can control it. And as a matter of fact, when you do take the reins and connect that way, like it creates coherence, you can impact the world around you. And they've even seen that a coherent mind or heart-brain coherence in one person can impact another one's.
Wow.
So this is something that is just fascinating. And, Joe Dispenza talks about that a lot. So that's like one aspect of it. So when you have this harmonious heart, it impacts so many things in your life. So I wanted to start with that just to show how emotions can impact that and stress can impact that. And then Chinese medicine also refers to something called Bao Mai, which is it's an internal channel that's more deep within. It's not like the meridians that you're able to access. It's more internal and deep within. And it connects the heart and the uterus. And the heart's role, it's amazing because you'll see a web of connections, like the blood, the liver stores the blood, the heart pumps the blood. There's so many different things that, so they'll both be important for the blood, but in different ways. Like you'll see how the organs all work as a symphony together to create vitality. So the heart's role, one of them, there's so many different roles it has, but one of the roles of the heart is that it can open the uterus. It has like a role of opening the uterus. And so it can impact menstruation. If you're feeling really stressed, it can impact like how the heart opens the uterus. But this is really fascinating. It also can open the uterus for birth, for labor. And we have a hormone called oxytocin. And that's actually referred to as the love hormone because it is something that we feel when we really love somebody. And it can also impact our attachment and love towards somebody in a bond. So that's why women, because they have higher oxytocin, they connect more and get more attached after having sex. So this is the reason why, is because women have it higher. But it's interesting. Why do women have it higher? This is a question. Why do women have more oxytocin? And why does oxytocin, well, we know that like, because it's been studied a lot more in labor, that oxytocin raises to create uterine contractions, which if you think about something opening, it's going to contract, it's going to start moving.
Yep.
So it influences uterine contractions, right? And that influences labor. So a lot of that was studied. We know that nipple stimulation also causes more oxytocin. You see that obviously when women breastfeed and then their uterus starts contracting to eventually close, but they also see it with intimacy. And then it also increases around ovulation and after orgasm. Why would the body do that? Why would it increase that love hormone, the connecting hormone, the one that really connects that those emotions in the heart around the time that conception is at its peak? So it must have some connection to it. So it's kind of like a Western medicine perspective on something that they've talked about in Chinese medicine for many years. So I talk about that in the book, about the importance of really connecting to the heart space, Yes. And why that is so often ignored. Everything else gets priority. You know, we need the supplements, this, that, and the other. But because of that, because of trying to make everything perfect, we're actually not just ignoring, but it has an adverse effect for our heart space.
Yes. Wow. Fascinating. It's amazing. And I just quickly want to touch on a few things you said there, specifically the heart math. I actually did that. I went to this art, of all places, I was at this art gallery last year, and they had the technology, the machine, and they were like, let's hook you up and see what you're, you know, and they gave me this, they kind of tested like the baseline coherence. And then they said, do this breath and you can increase your coherence. And I went all in. I was like, yes, let's see what I can do here. And she was like, wow. You know, she was like, the results were, she was like, are you a meditator? I was like, yeah, I've been meditating for 20 years. She was like, I can tell because how quickly the coherence came in. But it was fascinating how with my, you know, focused attention for like whatever it was, 5 minutes and using that specific breath, how the results shifted so quickly. It was really, really interesting. And so yeah, I had never even heard of it before trying that specific kind of framework. I had never heard of it. So it was fascinating. And I highly encourage anybody who isn't familiar with it to find somebody who can hook you up and you can kind of have, because I think what it did for me, Michelle, is it gave me a greater awareness of like, oh, that's what that feels like that coherent state. Because I think we can talk about it and it's like, okay, heart, brain coherence and all these things.
Right.
But I think when you really feel it, then you can recreate it and then you can actually bring it into your reality. You know what I mean?
Totally. I mean, such a good point. And it's biofeedback, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it really like it makes you aware of what the sensation's like. So it's an experience rather than just a concept that's floating up in like in your mind.
Yes. Totally. Amazing. Yeah. And I love what you shared. I think it's so important just around this connection between the heart and the uterus. And you're right. And that's why I loved it so much as you were speaking about it, because I was like, I haven't really heard this be emphasized at all, actually, in the fertility space, you know, or even in the kind of the spiritual fertility community. I was like, I haven't really heard this perspective be emphasized as much as you did, which is, I really loved it. And, you know, the other thing that I wanted to just hear your perspective on is something that I observe is that especially for a lot of the families that I work with who have, you know, they're coming to me and they've been trying to conceive for a very long time, you know, that can vary, whatever that means can vary from person to person. For some people, 2 years can feel like a very long time. Other people, it might be 15 years. And they, over time, after, you know, X amount of negative pregnancy tests or X amount of miscarriages or whatever, I think very naturally, the heart starts to harden and kind of close, you know, because I think we have maybe a unconscious protective mechanism to protect ourselves from future pain. You know, we're like, I've had these experiences and they were so difficult. And so I want to protect myself from that happening again. And that's one of the things that I love you talked about in the book, because I so agree of something you talked about of like, love is life-giving, right? Like love is such an important ingredient in conception, and the energies of our children or, you know, our spirit babies or our bodies, like it needs that love to support this process. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. And as you were saying that, I'm thinking love heals wounds too.
Yeah. Yeah. It does.
You know? So when you're going through the pain, it actually is, obviously nothing can take away, you know, some of the pain that people go through. It's a process, and it definitely and part of it is self-compassion, allowing yourself to fully be immersed in whatever it is that you are in, what is your reality, allowing yourself and validating that. And that's part of it. You know, that was a big part of it, is really allowing yourself to like be immersed in the reality of now. Whatever that is, however that shows up, there is no right or wrong, you know, like truly like having that self-compassion and mothering yourself. Sometimes you need to mother yourself. I always say like, it all starts with mothering yourself. When you mother yourself, I just feel like that energy is so soothing, and we deserve it. You know, you deserve it. You deserve to feel that feeling and that comforting.
Yeah.
And I think that you were saying before, we get so hard on ourselves. We get hard on our bodies. I find myself, I'm like preaching this, and I still find myself, I catch myself. I'm like, wait, I can't do that. I cannot do this. I have to shift that energy. And I know it's old, Yeah. It's coming from my past, you know, this kind of like, oh, this wrinkle or whatever it is, you know? And I'm like, no, it's a freaking line that shows my, you know, the enjoyment, my experience in life. It's beautiful. Like, why can't we just look at it like that? Like,
side note.
Yeah, we could get so hard on ourselves and how we respond to pain. And, you know, you basically can't let yourself just breathe, you know? Yeah. So that aspect of it really is what I was thinking about, you know, is just kind of coming to yourself from a place of love and compassion, which means sometimes curling up in a ball and allowing yourself to do that in its entirety. I think one of the reasons why it stays with us for so long is because we don't just let ourselves, it's almost like, you know, cry it out, let it out fully. Like I think to myself, a bowel movement. I mean, I know this is kind of a weird thing, but like, it's like not allowing yourself to get that full, like,
just
get it fully out.
Yes.
Allow yourself to be immersed in it. And when you do that, there's even though it's pain that you're feeling, there's a level of aliveness that happens when you fully get immersed in grief. I felt that when I lost my father. I was with him and I never felt such like deep emotions that, you know, really overwhelming at times. But at the same time, I felt more alive during that time than I've ever felt in my life. And it was like so bizarre to me. I was like, what is going on? I felt so present.
Yep.
And I just knew, I was definitely guided at the time. Like I knew that this was my role, that he chose me to be there at the end. And I had to, I know totally off topic, but kind of the experience, right?
Yeah.
And I knew that this was a sad but special moment at the same time, like, because this moment, every moment that I have, like I can truly honor and observe and feel. And like, it was just all these different things at once, but like fully immersing yourself in something that's really painful.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, can actually feel almost like, I don't know, like you just like, you feel more alive. There's this presence or energy that you feel that typically doesn't happen day to day.
Yeah. There's so much, there's beauty in it. There is. I agree with you. I hadn't had that experience until I lost a dear friend of mine and a teacher in 2021. And same as you, it was like, there's actually like, this is one of the most challenging emotional experiences I've had in my lifetime. And it's so beautiful. I never experienced that before.
It is. And you're right to say that, but you're like, no, but this is what it is. It's weird because you almost judge yourself for saying that.
Totally. Well, I think there is this narrative that like grief is hard, which it is, but there's also, if you really allow yourself to go into it and to explore it and to immerse yourself in it and to really feel it, as you're saying, there's beauty. Like I would go out for walks and be like, do the leaves look more green? The sky is more blue. The sun is brighter. I'm feeling it on my skin. Like it creates this completely different experience than what was having in my everyday life, you know? And I think that kind of energy is available for anybody who is on a fertility path as well, whether you're getting your period and you didn't want to, or whether you're miscarrying or what that is. You know, I think everybody has to find their way to what that means for them. For me and you, it looked probably a certain way, but see if you can, we're offering a suggestion of perhaps there is beauty in the grief process and in the emotional experience. And it's my belief also that we are coming to planet Earth to experience emotion, that we don't really get this other places. Like we don't get this myriad of different emotional experiences and emotional opportunities that we do here. It's very unique to this particular kind of reality. And on some level, we were interested in experiencing it. We were interested in experiencing the joy, but also the pain and the grief and the challenges, because there was something for us to potentially gain from that, to learn from that, to take from that. So I love what you're saying, because I think that, you know, just like a bowel movement with an emotional experience, maybe like pinch it off. Like, okay, I'll feel just like a little bit, you know, and then bring it up. Like I need to get it over with. I got places to be. And I think when instead, if we lean into the grief or lean into the impatience or lean into the fill in the blanks and we move it through our system fully, that's very powerful. That's very powerful.
Yeah. And I think that that's what is missing is that we were constantly fighting ourselves.
Yes.
Like we're not allowed to just fully grieve. We're not allowed to, you know, it's, and then you're like, okay, so that's like, go stop, go stop, go stop, go stop. It's like this constant, just go safely, you know, in a safe space.
Yeah.
And then just really fully immerse yourself in that. That will bring emotional freedom. It's not going to take away the difficulties. It's not going to take away the challenges or what is that you don't want to be, but it's going to free you up in the biggest way. And I've seen people through the journey, the whole spectrum from start to finish when they're fighting and then when they're totally immersed and allow, like, and I've seen people, they still didn't have a baby, finding emotional freedom that they've never thought they would find and feeling so happy. And they're like, I cannot believe I'm still on the fertility journey feeling like this. And I'm like, that's the message I want to get out. Yeah, you totally could do that. Like it's real. And then they just, the cherry on top, it's just kind of what happens. They become more aligned that way. And it does end up happening for them. It does. You know, it's like that's, but it takes that taking that bet on yourself.
Yeah, completely.
You got to take the bet. What is a bet? A bet is something that you just don't know for sure. And you just make that bet. It's that faith. I know this can happen.
Yeah, that's it. I love it. Beautifully said. And where I'd love to go next, so we touched on it earlier around the energies of yin and yang and how just, you know, the basic kind of energetic archetypes of those. I'd love to hear you riff on that. But then also how the elements of yin and yang show up on a fertility path. And just for food for thought, something I think about a lot is that I think we're living in this time on the planet where a lot of us are more young and living more young, especially women. You know, we're living in this beautiful time where women are like creating amazing things and businesses and children and homes and creative things and movies and whatever, songs, whatever their particular thing is that they're looking to create in the world. And I think that there is this kind of more constant yang state and that maybe some of us aren't accessing or living in more of a yin sort of state as often. I would love to hear just anything you notice about that and kind of the yin and yang archetype and how it shows up and how really prevalent it is in so much of the world and what we do and who we are and how it shows up for people on a fertility path as well.
Yeah, I love talking about the yin and the yang because they're basically the formula of everything. So the yin and the yang are just two polar opposites that counterbalance each other and they become each other and they turn into each other and they balance, you know, they use each other in order to thrive. Not use, it sounds bad, but they sort of rely on each other in order to be, and they're two opposites that make a whole. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that with night and day, like everything in life has yin and yang. You can see it superimposed onto everything. Yeah, male, female. So you have the yang is a little bit considered more male energy, more fire, more movement, active, whereas the yin energy is a little bit more feminine, slower moving. It's more potential energy and it's more like night, cool, dark. So you'll see that plants, for example, need both. They need, so the seed is kind of like a yin phase, and that captures basically all the potential energy and has energy in order to sprout. So within the yin, you'll have a lot of the yang. So for example, the egg cell, which has hundreds of thousands more mitochondria, which are the powerhouses of the cell. And probably a lot of people have heard of it. It's talked a lot about anti-aging, which what we do is it's all about anti-aging because anti-aging is what helps egg quality, basically. Like everything you're doing for anti-aging is what you're doing for fertility a lot of times.
Yeah.
And so so you look at the egg cell, the egg is yin. It's ready to receive. However, it's slow moving. But it has a ton of yang potential energy. It's just storing, waiting for that energy to be. So it's holding in the yang. And then the sperm, fast moving, tons of yang. But how is it able to move? through lots of nice moisture of yin protecting it, surrounding it. And even the body creates more yin, which is cervical fluid, to create a pH that helps and protects and fosters the movement as well. So you got the cervical mucus, you got the seminal fluid, all of those things which are very yin, protecting the sperm, allowing it to do its job. So it's incredible how it's like a symphony. So even so the woman's body has that, but she still has a little bit of the yang in the cells, and then the yang sperm moves really fast, but it still has the yin protecting it, and it needs it. So they both need each other, those opposite forces. And so basically, I mean, that is how life works. And a balance of both of those are really what is needed in order to improve vitality.
Yeah.
Western medicine, conventional medicine, they refer to it as homeostasis. It's the same thing. It basically shows that the body can only thrive with homeostasis. If that gets thrown off, you'll get like imbalance of hormones and all kinds of other issues. Something's getting in the way of that. It will throw off the homeostasis. Mm-hmm. Homeostasis is where your body thrives. And that is basically, you know, the core concept of the yin and yang.
That's amazing. And I love this because I think you described it so beautifully as well. I just love how you described like the egg and the sperm and the symphony of that experience. And again, coming back to what we were talking about earlier, I mean, just the intelligence of it all. It's incredible. And I think because we don't see it, we it's harder for us to tap into that intelligence, but we can feel the intelligence, you know,
and that's working for us. And we have a ton of assistance all over the place.
Oh, so much, so much. And I think what I also love that you're highlighting here is this energy of balance, which I think can be, I think there's these certain words that people can tend to brush over because it's just like, oh yeah, balance, or, you know, meditation, or yeah. Like, it just seems like it's almost like
it's like the things you're gonna find on a rock that they sell, like,
right?
Peace, you know,
love, laughter, you know. But it almost is like become oversimplified in our world. But as you're talking about balance, I mean, and you can really tap into that energy field of balance, of homeostasis, of a balance of yin and yang, and these sorts of things. We realize how deeply important that is to be in balance in our lives, and how that then supports our bodies on our conception journey or on our fertility path, you know? So I think it's like, I love the way you illustrated that, because I think it really brought consciousness back into the word, like, balance, homeostasis, balance of yin and yang in the body, and what that can look like. I think that's so important.
Yeah. And also, as you were mentioning about how we don't have enough yin. So yeah. Yang is very, like, they're both really important aspects of just everything. Yang is when we're going after it, basically, like, you know, using that energy in our life, we're going after, we're doing all the things, we're putting activity, you know.
Yep.
So that's like, so that is one aspect, and it's an important aspect and it should not be denied. However, sometimes part of it, of getting something, is receiving. It's not just about doing, and sometimes you can't do. The more you do, the worse it gets. So sometimes getting to the state of listening and receiving and perceiving and allowing, that is where you're able to conjure up a lot of energy and productivity.
Yeah.
And you do that. That's how you know, you're able to do what you do because you're allowing yourself to receive the message.
Yep.
And you wouldn't be able to do that unless you connected with that intelligence.
Yeah. Completely. Yeah. I love that illustration. And I think you're right. It's true. I wouldn't be able to do the work that I do if I wasn't so deeply open to receiving without judging it or the information, you know, or trying to like analyze it or pick it apart. So it's definitely taught. And what I will say is that I had to learn how to apply it. It was very easy for me in my work. It's very easy just to be in this receptive state in my work, but I had to learn how to apply it in my just personal life as I was moving through my life. I was like, oh, I'm not actually making space to be in receptivity for myself at all. You know, I'm not really like allowing my body to truly properly rest throughout the day. It's just always like, what can I do next? Yeah. I can do this, I can do that. And actually finding acupuncture for me was like, such so helpful in starting to really anchor that into my system, because it's like you go and you lay on a table and you have these points activated, these meridians activated for you. And then your body is entering this blissful parasympathetic nervous system state, and you just feel like you could float off the table. And that actually kind of taught me like what that actually feels like in my life, that I can be in that sort of yin parasympathetic state in just as I'm kind of moving through the world when I'm not in this receptive state as I'm working. So anyway, it's been a journey. It's a journey. I love it. Thank you, Michelle. It's beautiful. So I want to talk, one of the last couple of things I want to talk to you about is the, just as we're talking about acupuncture, something I'm really fascinated by. And every time I go see my acupuncturist, she's like putting the needles in and I'm like, what meridian is that? What are you doing there? Why is that one going there?
Yeah, no.
I'm so curious about
that. I was that. That was me.
Yeah. I'm like, tell me about it. I want to know why. I want to know why. And so I would love if you could maybe just take us through some of the key meridians in the body that maybe you're treating for a patient, or ones that you're really drawn to, or that you find are really important specifically for people who are trying to get pregnant.
Yeah, great question. I mean, it is kind of hard to
narrow them down,
just pinpoint, but there are a couple of things. So there are meridian points, basically points that connect very deep within. So it's a channel. So imagine like a highway, and that highway has a couple of exit points. And those exit points are basically the points of the channel that come close to the skin. So that's where we're able to access those exit points or entry points. Maybe it's more entry points. So you basically have those points and you're able to access deep within, like in further away, very far away, like into the organs. So sometimes we'll do distal points. Sometimes we'll do local points. Sometimes I'll do like really local points in the pelvis. That can help a lot because it basically alerts the body to bring more blood flow. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait, something foreign isn't in me right now. Like, what do I do? And so, but at the same time, it's a controlled injury because it's not going to cause any infection. It's clean.
Right.
So that is really wonderful to do. So I almost always do local blood points, regardless of what you're coming in, you know, for fertility specifically. And then people have their different patterns. So sometimes if people have a lot of digestive issues, I love working with a spleen and stomach, because the digestion is the mother. It's kind of like that nourisher, and that you need that nourishment in order to create energy in the body, to create blood in the body, to really assimilate all the nutrients so that your body does have the nutrients it needs in order to reproduce.
Yeah.
So I do love working with that, depending on the person. The kidneys are really important because the kidneys are basically house the energy of reproduction. And they're very important for reproduction in Chinese medicine, not Western medicine. Western medicine, they're just a filter of blood so you can pee.
Right.
Like Chinese medicine. And what's interesting too is in Chinese medicine, they see the energy or the emotion of the kidneys or fear. But what's on top of the kidneys? Your adrenals, which is fascinating to me.
You know,
it's another kind of like little pattern that you see.
Totally.
It's kind of like aligned.
Yep.
And I do like working with the ears as well, because you can activate the vagus nerve in the ears. So a lot of the nervous system, and then also get really specific on the ovaries or the uterus, depending on the time of cycle. If people have had PTSD or trauma, there's a NADA protocol, which I use on the ears, and I love using that. It's interesting too, because that protocol has been used not only for trauma, for PTSD, but it's also for addictions. And you're like, okay, what do they have in common? They're in a loop. It's a loop of behavior or thoughts that you're kind of stuck in this loop. So it frees you from that energy, and it's been shown to really help in so many ways. So that is like another aspect of it. And that's not part of a meridian per se.
Yeah.
Although the kidneys do open up in the ears, but that's not a specific meridian, it's points. And then I also like to use the third eye point, the crown point, because it calms the spirit. And when you calm the spirit, like it's just so much healing happens.
Fascinating. I love it. I could pick your brain about that all day. I want to come in like shadow you in your practice and be like,
oh, yeah, no,
what are you doing there? Speaking of that, actually, Michelle, just for anybody who's local to you, you obviously have an in-person practice. Can people come see you, like people who are local to you?
Yes. So I do have a local practice where people can come see me. And I also have an associate that works with me if I'm not able to do it. But I basically was like, I taught her a lot of what I know. And she also has her own unique talents. And I usually love that, you know, so everybody has their like gifts. And then I also do online work. So I have online courses, online coaching, all kinds of things. And
amazing. And you're located in Florida, right?
Yeah, South Florida.
Okay, amazing. Yeah, just I know actually we have quite a listenership in Florida. So go see Michelle in person. It's so amazing. I wanted to, something that we've been talking about throughout this whole interview is your book, which is coming out soon. Will you tell us just a little bit about this beautiful, obviously we've talked about it, but will you tell us just a little bit about your experience writing this book? What was the call on your heart to put this book out there at this time? Like, how did you get initiated to write this? I personally love to hear about this because I wrote a book and I'm just curious other people's process. And will you tell people how they can find it, when they can get it, all that kind of good stuff?
Yeah, thank you. So typically, I think when we work and do the thing that we do, we start to find ourselves repeating the same information that we've like learned as truth or empowerment or whatever it is. So then I was like, you know, I would love to just put all of this information into one thing. And then also, you know, it's like any creation that you have. And I feel like that was my art. Sometimes something wants to channel through you.
Yeah.
And you feel that and you're like, okay, I did that with my podcast. It was 2018. I just was like, you're going to do a podcast. Okay. Like, I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm just going to do it. Just like, I felt like I was directed to do it. And so that is kind of, and I know that, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it was just like that. I was like, this wants to come through. I'm just going to have to be like the host that allows this, the messenger. And so it basically is just the really underlying like lesson or kind of like thing that I want to say is, first of all, there are some things that have been taught around for thousands of years, just ancient wisdom, which is Chinese medicine is really based on Taoism. Taoism is the way. The way is basically that harmony that we see with the yin and yang. And if you live in accordance to that, like vitality happens, healing happens, your life will be amazing. I mean, that's just really what it is. It's kind of finding that balance and that flow. So I talk about that in the book. And I talk about how you are so much more powerful than you've been led to believe. And that there's so much more that we can do. And we're so much more than our diagnosis. And it was a book, I mean, with the intention and the heart of empowering people so that they can believe in themselves. Because I went through it myself.
Yeah.
And I know what it's like to be told that you can't do something and that your body can't do it. And I don't buy it for the most part. I mean, obviously there's some things that are specific, but for the most part, people overcome a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it's because they can.
Yeah.
I think everybody can. They have that ability. And so that potential is there. So I constructed in the book, like I really compiled a lot of ancient wisdom techniques, meditations, really understanding your inner terrain, what that means, and lots of different tools to really get people to the place where they connect to that intelligence within them. And that intelligence can guide them. So yes, you could do the perfect fertility diet. Yes, you could do the perfect supplements. When you are so in tune with that intelligence, it will tell you what it wants, what's good for your body, what your body will respond to. It'll tell you which relationships are healthy for you. It's basically going to the core, the root, rather than going to the branches where everything else is just material. Let's go to the root. And once you get that essence, really to that core essence, everything else falls into place.
Yeah. Amazing. Beautiful, Michelle. And it's called The Way of Fertility.
Yes.
Awaken your reproductive potential through the transformative power of ancient wisdom. I love that. Such a good subtitle. And it is out. Tell us when it's out and how people can find it too.
Yeah. So the official out day is April 22nd. And when I first mentioned it, it was February 22nd. It was 2/22/24. That was my husband's birthday is 2/22. So 22 seems to be the number. And he's always been a support of my life. So
I love it.
I feel like he's been part of everything, like really that I do because of his support.
Yeah.
And kind of like always guiding me, almost like a guardian angel, do this, do that, you know, like, okay, you know, like do what, not telling me what to do, but saying you love this. Why not do what you love, you know? And so, so officially it's going to be 2/22, April 22nd. And then the website is michelleorbitz.com/the way of fertility with no space. And you could find all the information on there wherever you are.
Fantastic. Yeah. And we'll have everything linked for everybody in the show notes so they can easily find their way there. I read it. I loved it. I thought it was a beautiful read, really well done. And you definitely accomplished your mission of, you know, channeling this book through. And I think it's a beautiful touch point for so many people on a fertility path. And what I personally loved about it, last thing I'll say, is that I read a lot of fertility books. And I think that this was, it still, you know, woven that, the, you know, the science element of it. But I think it really was like a love letter to the hearts of so many people out there on a fertility path who needed that belief and that empowerment instilled back in them, and how they can kind of weave in all these beautiful tools that you've offered them, different than maybe they're doing now. So I loved it. I thought it was fantastic, and I highly recommend it to everybody who's listening. So thank you, Michelle, and wishing you so much beauty on your book launch, and excited for you. I know it's such a special time. I remember it well, and very busy, as we were talking about earlier. So thank you for coming on and sharing your wisdom with me and my audience. I appreciate it so much.
Now, Emily, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I really love you. Like, you have such good energy. You're just such a cool person, and you're awesome to talk to. And I feel like you get it. So it's kind of cool. We can kind of really vibe. So thank you so much for having me on. Thank you for also saying the kind words and reading it and taking the time to do that, because I know you're busy. So that's really
awesome. Oh, I whipped through it. I was through it in like 48 hours. I read so fast.
Great
though. That's good. I mean, I'm a fast reader anyway, but I was like, I couldn't put it down. It was so great. So thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll talk soon. Again, we'll have you back. We'll talk more fertility. It's fun just to talk, like you said, it's fun just to talk to somebody who gets it. So, anyway, thank you, Michelle.